You know, we really live in a world that's full of competing beliefs and values and choices. And what you believe shapes how you live and ultimately who you become. But the good news is, God hasn't left us to figure it all out alone. No. In fact, today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, we're going to continue our series, Reframing Your Worldview, where Rick Warren unpacks powerful truths from God's Word to help you see life clearly and live it with confidence and purpose. And now to close out this message, here's Rick with the final part called, Where Did We Come From?
Because there is a God, and because that God loved you, thought of you, created you, sent his son to die for you, puts his spirit in you, and all these things, your life has sanctity, your identity has dignity. Number three, your days have destiny. Your days have a destiny. That means God has a defined purpose for your days while you're here on earth. Now, they're not very long, but they're here for a certain time. And the Bible says this, all the days planned for me were written in your book, that's God's book, before I was one day old. Did you know that? Did you know that God already knows everything that's going to happen in your life? He's not surprised by anything. He knows it all. He didn't make you do those things. He gave you a free will to do it, but he knows it. And they were all in that book before you were one day old. Your days have a destiny. Now, let's just review again. The Bible says you're going to get about 80 years on this planet, maybe 90. Very few people make it to 100 years old. Now, that's pretty tiny, pretty insignificant compared to the billions of years you're going to spend on the other side of death in eternity. And so the Bible says this life is preparation for the next. This is the get ready stage, the kindergarten, the preschool, the first lap, the warm up, the dress rehearsal for the real show begins. And God wants you to practice here on this planet what you're going to do forever, the purposes in eternity. We've talked about this many times in detail. And God says, I put you here for a destiny. And the Bible says this in Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which, notice, God prepared in advance, before you were even born, for us to do. God prepared it in advance. Before you were born, God decided how he was going to wire you up. He gave you certain ambitions, certain desires, certain drives. He gave you certain interests. You know your hobbies? Where do you think you got those? You got them from God. God gave you those interests. And there's some things you couldn't care less about. God gave those interests to somebody else. And God uniquely shaped you to play a role in history. And only you can play your role. And if you don't be you, nobody else is going to be you. We talked about a couple weeks ago, God likes variety. There's nobody like you in the entire world. And he wired you up uniquely to play a certain role in this thing called history. Now, this is very important. God never compares you to anybody else. Never. One day you're going to stand on a judgment day before God when we'll all be evaluated. And the Bible says there that God is going to look at your own life. He's not going to compare you like, well, why weren't you more like that person over there? Why weren't you more like your brother or your sister or your mom or your dad or whatever? No, God does not look at what you do. He looks at what you do compared, not to others, but compared to your potential. And he knows your potential better than anybody else. He knows your potential better than you do. And he wants to know, what are you doing with what you've been given? The talents, the ability, the freedom, the parents, America, all of the things that you have, the health, the eyesight, whatever. What are you doing with what you've been given? He's comparing you to what you could be, to what he intended you to be when you started going on his plan or you started going on your own plan. And God, the Bible says, pays attention to every detail of your life. He has every hair on your head numbered. The Bible tells us that. In fact, he knows when one of them falls out. So how could God keep track of all those details? If human beings can create Cray supercomputers that can handle gazillions of computations in a nanosecond, we did that. God is bigger than all of us. He can certainly handle the details of the universe. And he cares about, there is no detail of your life that God is not interested in. None. Because he sees it all and cares about it all. Now, can we miss God's purpose in our lives? Absolutely. People do it all the time. In fact, you can go all through life and miss God's purpose for your life by your own choices. And if you choose, say, God, I'm going to go after money instead of your purpose, well, you will miss it. Or God, I'm going to go after being popular at school. You'll miss it. Or God, I'm going to do what makes me happy with my boyfriend. Then you're going to miss it. When you say, God, I want your purpose for my life, you won't miss it. He'll get you in line, believe me, because he wants it more than you do. But you can miss God's purpose in your life. In fact, the tragedy is most people go through life not knowing God's purpose. Well, is everything that happens to you, does everything that happened to you, is that God's will, God's perfect will for your life? Absolutely not. No. A lot of things happen to you that aren't God's will, his perfect will for your life. Why? God gave you a will, and you can choose to go God's will or your own will or the devil's will. And we always often choose to do our own thing instead of God's. If I went out here tonight and I got drunk and fell in a pool and drowned, that wouldn't be God's will. That'd be a stupid decision I made. That would be my will. Don't blame God for your problems. We have our own problems. And God says, I have a will for your life, but I'm not going to force it on you. You can choose to believe in me or not believe in me. You can choose to be a part of my family or not be a part of my family. You can choose to follow my purpose for your life or not. You were made in my image. I give you the choice. I want you to choose to love me. And that's why we're to pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, do your will in my life. It's done perfectly in heaven. It's not done that way here. Now, can God bring good even out of the mistakes that we make in life? Well, of course he can. He specializes in that. And that leads us to the fourth benefit, the fourth implication. Because God is God, my problems have intentionality. That means the problems that you have a purpose. Every problem in your life has a purpose, every one of them. That means there is meaning in the mess you're in right now. Now, you can't see it. In fact, you rarely do. You don't rarely see the meaning of the mess until you get out of it and you look back, and in hindsight's 20/20, and you can see a whole lot better. But there's meaning in the mess. God has a plan, and God's purpose for your life is bigger than the problems you're going through right now. Any of you remember the TV show MacGyver? Does anybody remember that show? Yeah, MacGyver. Who was that guy? Richard Dean Anderson. That was a fun show to watch because this guy could make something out of nothing. I mean, he could use anything for his purpose. I mean, it was fun just to watch because, you know, he'd take a lipstick canister and a little carrot juice and some duct tape and make a bomb. And you go, whoa, that is cool. You know, he just had this ability to take, you know, a little baling wire here and a little, you know, chewing gum and a little acetone over here, and all of a sudden he's got a rocket ship. And you know, he could just use anything, ordinary things around him, good or bad, for his own purposes. Let me tell you something. God is better than MacGyver. Okay? He can take everything in your life, the good stuff, the bad stuff, the nasty stuff, the screwy stuff, the bizarre stuff, the hurtful stuff. He can take any of it. And because he's God, he can use it for good in your life. Now, God doesn't cause the problems in your life, so stop blaming God. God doesn't cause your problems. He doesn't have to. You got plenty of problems on your own. Problems are caused, you cause a lot of your problems. They're caused by other people. They're caused by the world. They're caused by the environment. They're caused by DNA and genetics. They're caused by the devil. God doesn't have to cause any problems in your life. There are lots of causes, but God allows them and God permits them for a good intention. He has a good intention even when other people have a bad intention. A great example of this is the story of Joseph in the Bible, over in the book of Genesis. Joseph was in a large family of, he had 12 brothers. And these brothers, they were very jealous of him. They were very, very jealous because he was the father's favorite. And they didn't like this guy, and he was young. And so the brothers decided to throw him into a pit, get rid of him. And then some slave traders came by and they said, oh, let's just sell him into slavery. So they sell their brother into slavery, and the slave traders take Joseph to Egypt. He's a Jew, he's from Israel. For the next 40 years of Joseph's life, everything goes wrong. Now he's doing it right. He loves God, he's praying, he's doing the right thing, he's trusting God, he has integrity. He gets a job as the head of a master's household, and the wife of the master falls in love with him, tries to seduce him, and he says, no, I can't do that. I'm not going to have sex with my master's wife. So she accuses him of rape falsely, throws him into prison. I mean, everything. This is quite a story. You can make a movie about this one. Everything goes wrong in his life for 40 years. And he's wondering, God, is this really worth serving you? But he just kept on having faith. Some of you are in that situation right now. Everything's going wrong. And you just keep doing the right thing. And God had him exactly where he wanted. And at the right time, through a series of circumstances, Joseph is raised up to power to become number two in the nation of Egypt. Second only to Pharaoh. And he's not even Egyptian. He's Jewish. But he sees that there are famines in the Middle East, and so he puts into a government storage strategy where they start storing up grain, and then when a seven-year famine comes in the Middle East, Egypt has enough food, and he saves the day, and he's very famous. And all the other nations start coming down to Egypt to get grain because they didn't save anything. And lo and behold, these brothers, many, many years later, are coming to Egypt to get grain from the man they don't realize is their brother that they sold into slavery. When they finally meet, the brothers realize that their life's on the line, that Joseph could be incredibly angry and upset and retaliatory, and that we're chopped liver, we're dead meat, we're goners. And Joseph said something very amazing. It's a mark of maturity. Here's what he said on the screen. In Genesis 50, 20, you, talking to his brothers, intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. He said, you meant to hurt me, and it hurt, but God intended it for good. There is an intentionality behind my problems. Now listen. There have been people in your life who intended to hurt you, and they did. They hurt you with words. They may have hurt you with physical, hurt. They may have hurt you by being drunk and doing things to you. They may have hurt you sexually. I'm sorry. They intended to hurt you. But God intends to bring good out of it if you will give it to him and trust him. If you will say, here are the pieces of my life, God, the good and the bad. I give you the pieces. God can bring peace out of those pieces. God is bigger than the problems you've been through. And his purpose is greater than the problems you've been through. And he says, have an intentionality. I will bring good out of them. If you'll trust me. God is more interested in your character than he is in your comfort. You're not taking comfort to heaven. When you get there, it's going to be comfortable. That's when you get all the comfort in eternity. Right now is the character building time. And how does God build character in your life? Well, first, he builds it through truth. That's why we're doing this series on worldview, so that you know the truth about life. And the more you know the truth, it sets you free. So he builds character through truth. He builds it through time. It takes time to grow spiritually. It can't happen overnight. He builds it through testing. And God will test your integrity. Do you keep your promises? And he'll test your generosity. And he'll test your humility. And he'll test your faith, all to make you stronger. And then he uses trouble to help you grow in your life. People are like tea bags. You don't know what's inside of them until you drop them in hot water. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 8, famous promise. We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Not everything's good, a lot of bad in the world, but it works together for everybody? No. This is a promise for those who love God and are trying to go in his purpose. Now, if you don't love God, you're not trying to follow his purpose in life, everything does not work to good in your life. It works for bad. God owes you nothing if you're doing your own thing. But for those who say, I love you, I want to be with you, I want to know you, I want to follow your ways, God says, you know what? Then I'll take all of the things that happen to you, even the stuff you cause yourself, and I'll use it for good in your life. Now, here's the problem. Because we aren't God, we can't see the whole picture. And we can't see, when you're in that problem, you just can't see how any good could come out of that possibly. You just can't see it. And so you have to trust him. You have to trust God to know what he's doing. You see, most of the stress in your life comes when you forget that God is God and you're not. And whenever you forget that and you try to be God, it creates stress. That's why the Bible says, look up here on the screen, Psalm 100 verse 3, remember, God is God. He made us. We didn't make him. So we have to trust him in our problems. Because God is God, your life has sanctity, your identity has dignity, your days have destiny, your problems have intentionality, and best of all, your future is eternity. It's not going to end here on earth. Because there is a God and you were made in his image, there's far more to life than just here and now. Oh, this is just a little sliver of what's to come. The Bible says God made you to last forever. Your heart's going to stop one day. Your bodily functions are going to shut down. That's going to be the end of your body. It will not be the end of you. You were made in God's image. You have a spirit. And one day, that spirit will go on into eternity. And the Bible says this in Psalm 23, the most famous psalm in the Bible. Surely goodness and love, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. We could just stop right there. But then it adds this, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. That's a long, long time. And God wants you to be a part of his forever family. That's why you were created. That's why he created the universe. So he could have a forever family. The Bible says this, Ephesians 1. This is God's purpose. When the time is ripe, he will gather us all together from wherever we are in heaven and or on earth to be with him in Christ forever. God wants to draw his family together. Now, he's not going to force you to be a part of his family. You have to choose to be a part of it. He's not going to force you to love him, to know him, to trust him, to do his purpose, and to be a part of his family. You can say, I don't believe in God. I don't want to trust Jesus. I don't want to follow the Lord. I don't want his purpose. I want to do what I want to do. God says, fine, have it your way. He gives you the choice to reject him, but you must be willing to live with the consequences for eternity. You know, all of creation is preparing for the biggest event ever in history. It's going to be a time when the history on earth ends and eternity begins, and God gathers all of his children together who have become his children, chosen to be his children, and he's going to have a giant party for them, and it's going to last for eternity. The Bible says this, next verse, all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. I'm going to ask you the most important question you will ever be asked in your life. Is your name going to be on that list? Is your name going to be on that invitation list? The party for God's children that's going to last for eternity. You don't want to miss that one. You want to make sure your name's on the A list, because that one has eternal repercussions. You say, how do I get on the list? It's your choice. God has extended an open invitation. It's your choice. Here's what he says, John 1:12 up on the screen. To all who received him, that's received Jesus Christ into your life, he gave them the right to become the children of God. All they needed to do was trust him to save them. Friends, it's your choice. You can live a life with God, or you can live a life without God. It's your choice. God allows you to do that. You're made in his image. You can live a life with purpose, or you can live a life without God's purpose. It's your choice. I told you last week that I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. I really don't. When I look at the world, when I see everything created, and I look around at it all, I go, this is no accident. It takes far more faith to believe that it just happened. Random chance accident. Like this watch just was a random chance accident. Yeah. It just over 1,000 years, it became a watch. Or a gazillion years, it became. No, I don't believe that. I believe design is an indication of a designer. And you're blind to not see that. I don't have enough faith to not believe in God, to be an atheist. But not only that, I reject the logical implications of rejecting God, which is a life with no sanctity, a life with no dignity, a life with no destiny, a life with no intentionality, and a life with no eternity. That's not living, that's existing. Let's bow our heads. Will you pray this prayer? In your mind, say, Dear God, thank you for creating the universe. Thank you for creating this world. Thank you for thinking of me before you created it all. I'm amazed that you would love me that much. Thank you for wanting me to be a part of your family forever. Jesus Christ, I thank you for dying for me. I don't understand it all, but I want to trust in you. I invite you to fill my life with your life and your spirit. I ask you to make me a part of your family. Thank you for making me for a purpose. Please forgive all the things I've done wrong. Please restore my dignity. Give me a new identity. Secure my destiny for eternity. And help me to treat everybody with dignity and to share this good news with those who don't know it yet. I pray this in your name. Amen.
If you just prayed to receive Jesus, congratulations. We would love to send you some free materials to help you along on your spiritual journey. Just email rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Now here's Rick with today's offer.
You know, I've been a pastor for over 3 decades, and I've been teaching the Word of God for over 4 decades. And in all of that time, the number one question I've been asked by people is this: how can I change, or why can't I change? I've talked to literally thousands and thousands of people who want to change but are just stuck, and they can't figure out how to get unstuck. You know, the truth is, you can't change on your own because willpower alone isn't enough to make permanent changes. Sure, you can force yourself to change for a month or 2 months, but pretty soon you're going to go back to your old ways. Pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps is not enough. Talking yourself into a change by positive thinking is not enough. The Bible says true transformational change only comes through the power of God inside you. So let me ask you a personal question. How do you want to be different at the end of this year? What changes would you like to make in your life? What goals would you like to see accomplished in your life? Well, it isn't going to happen on your own. You're going to need God's power. And I want you to understand how to plug in to God's power. That's why I'm sending out God's Power to Change Your Life, a book that I've written, when you give a financial gift to support Daily Hope Broadcast and Ministries. You know, Daily Hope is 100% supported by listeners. We have no other outside source of income. It's supported by your gifts. And when you give to support this ministry this month, I want to give back to you this book God's power to change your life. Thanks a lot for listening today, and thanks for helping support Daily Hope. We love you, we thank God for you, and we hope you'll continue to listen to this broadcast as we look into God's Word for our daily hope.
Go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com. Or you could just text the word HOPE to 70309. That's the word HOPE to 70309. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.